when it runs out, you learn how to do without. I want this stuff. I got in my pocket. Okay. What is today? Today is the 5th day of October. I believe that's right. October the 5th. 2014, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. Would turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. We continue on the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that, we find some things that I wanted to make sure that we brought out concerning our belief of that. And whether or not we believe that Jesus was truly born of a virgin. Now, the world does not believe that. There is no doubt. Ungodly men and men of the world, men that are yet unsaved in their sins, do not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Because they do not believe that He is the Son of God. They do not believe that He is God with us. They may have some notion. They may have some historical notion in their mind that Jesus is the Son of God. But they know Him not as so. Therefore, they do not believe that Jesus was truly born of a virgin. Because that can only be done by the power of the Almighty. That can only be done by the power of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that would overshadow a virgin and cause her to conceive or be with child and have a child being yet of a virgin. And so the world does not believe any such thing. And we made it over to looking at 2 Kings, Josiah, Book of the Law was found, and some things were read from the Book of the Law, and you'll have to read some before this to understand how it got this bad. How it got to the place that they did not know where the Word of God was. And then they stumbled upon it. And Josiah, the Bible says, had a tender heart and was moved by the power of God when the Word of God was found and read to him, probably from Leviticus, where it told what would happen to the people of Israel, of Judah, Jacob's descendants, if they did not keep the commandments of God contained in the Word of God. And when they read those things to him, he tore his clothes, and it moved him tremendously. And look at verse 14. After he was read the Word of God by Shaphan, the scribe, then he, in verse 13, he tells them to go ye and inquire of the Lord for me. He tells this to the priest Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, who was the scribe or the son of the scribe, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, to go and inquire of the Lord. And then verse 14, the scripture says, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikbah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, meaning the college of the prophets, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. We'll stop there for now. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We pray your blessings upon it, O God. There's one thing that we know, Lord, and that is we can do nothing without thee. We are helpless, blind, worthless. We can do nothing without thee. Lord, we plead for thee this morning to help us, to help your servant, to help your people to hear and to understand. Oh Lord, that our eyes might be open to see the truth of thy word. Lord, that we may be moved as Josiah was at what we read. And may you bless your people this day. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, they had gotten to this place where they had lost or did not know where the Word of God was because they had forsaken the law of God. You see what he says? Because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Now, today, in our society, any of you that have any age on you, which is all of you in here except Eli, should be able just at our age to look back from the time that we were children and see the difference in the way it was then and the way it is now. It was even started to turn and had already turned a lot by the time we were born. It had already gotten to the place where people had forsaken the Word of God and had turned to the doctrines of devils. That's what the Bible calls them. That's what the Lord calls them. It's what Paul called them, was doctrine of devils. False doctrine. Doctrine that is not according to the Word of God is the doctrine of devils. And these doctrine, these false doctrine, led people astray because they love it so. Someone told me this week that they were flipping through the channels and saw Joyce Myers, or whatever that woman so-called preacher is, as it comes on TV. And listening or hearing some part of the false doctrine that is preached by this woman. And we all know what the Bible says about women preaching. And you cannot change the Word of God, but because people love it so, because the Bible doesn't fit what they want it to say, and it doesn't fit their lifestyle and what they want to believe, they change it to make it read or want it to read the way they want it to. So it fits their lifestyle. Therefore, they have forsaken God. You can go to church all you want to. You can pray all you want to, but if it's contrary to what the Word says, you're serving a false god.
That's right.
And that's what these people were doing. And you see who the priest went to? I don't know where Jeremiah was. He must have been off in another faraway place, and they wanted a quick word from God. Isn't that something? Hurry up, God, give me a word quick. I need it now. So who do they go to? This woman, this prophetess. Now, whether she was representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords or not, I cannot say. I do not know. I know this. She told them what the Word said.
That's right.
So she must have known something. She may have been like Deborah, and she may have been like some of these other women that truly loved the Lord, and they were a lack of men fulfilling the Word of God. And so this woman tells them the Word of God. And I have nothing against what she has to say here, because she says the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. And if you'll turn over to Leviticus, the 26th chapter, you'll see that what she told them was according to the Scripture. Now, all through Leviticus here, the Lord tells them, even in chapter 26 here, He tells them in verse 1, "Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." And he just goes on with blessings that they will be blessed with if they will only do his commandments. You say, "Well, preacher, that's just not so today." But that's what people say about the Word of God when they read where the Bible says, "Let a woman keep silent in church." Well, that's just not for today. He didn't mean that. He didn't mean... Well, what did he mean? That's what he said! You make it mean whatever you want to, you might as well throw the book away. If you're not going to believe what it says, just throw the book away. Write your own. Know it all. Write your own book. Live any way you want to. You're doing it anyway. Quit calling yourself a Christian and a believer in the Almighty God. There is no fear of God anymore because they do not believe in a God.
That's right.
They do not believe in the God of the Scriptures. They do not believe there is a judgment coming upon all men. They do not believe, as Brother Thomas has well taught over the last several weeks, of the judgment of God that will come upon all men for all of their transgressions against the law and the Word of God. They do not believe that. Therefore, they have no fear of that. But whether they fear it or not, it's still a coming. That does not change the truth.
Amen.
Now, only the people of God can believe that and do believe that. And that's the reason they have a reverential fear of God. They reverence Him because they love Him and they want to obey Him. The reason that they read the Word of God is that they might know Him better and be obedient servants unto Him because they love Him. And the older they get and the more they grow and the more they suffer infirmities and the more they have to go before the throne of grace to find help in time of need, the more they love Him. And the more they want to obey Him. And the more they want to read His Word, and the more they want to have communion with their family of God, the brethren. But they have no fear of God these days, and that's fine. You say, and look, Joyce Myers is nothing new. They've always been false prophets, and they've always been women pretending to be preachers, and there's nothing new under the sun. These people hadn't come up with anything new. These people that name it, claim it, faith healing people that act like they can slap you on the head and you fall out on the floor and you'll get up healed, that's nothing new. Healing has always been a very popular way to get people to come to a service. Always. Look at Jesus. When He was healing people, they come by the droves. But when He told them, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven," they forsook Him. He, Master 12, will you go too? Will you leave me also? I mean thousands following Him. Because He was feeding them with miracles. He was healing their diseases, blinded, raising the dead. They would come for that. But when He told them, "I am the bread of life," they forsook Him. So, there's nothing new. If I could call you, some of you down front, and pop you in the head, and you fall out on the floor and jump up and holler, "I'm healed," and go about and tell everybody, we'd pack this place out for long. They'd come. They want to be healed of their diseases. They don't want to obey God. They don't want to keep His commandments, nor do they want to worship God. They just want to be healed of their diseases. Now, go down to verse 14 of chapter 26 of Leviticus there, and see what Josiah was read and what caused him to shudder so and to repent and tear his clothes. "But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if ye shall abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning agout. And that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I shall set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you." And you can go all the way down through verse 45. I wish you'd do it after church. You can go all the way through verse 45 and read the woes of God that will come upon people that will not obey His commandments, especially Israel and Judah here. The terrible things that God said, "I will bring upon you." And back over in 2 Kings 22, there's where He says, "I will bring evil upon this place." So these name it, claim it people that says God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise all the time. Matter of fact, one of them come to my house and told me, "Oh no, God didn't do that to your foot. That was the devil. The devil did that to your foot. God would never do that." Do you not understand? The Bible says, "I change not." He's always the same. He's always been the same. He'll always be the same. That's one wonderful and great thing about God. You can count on Him.
That's right.
He never changes. Jesus didn't change one thing of the Old Testament. He said, "I didn't come to do away with it. I come to fulfill it. I come to do what you couldn't do. I come to keep the commandments of God." God said, "Thus saith the Lord, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof." God said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring evil upon this place. I'm going to teach you people." And look, I told you before that how will people know if you don't tell them that the judgment of God's coming upon them? When God gets through with them, they'll know. Whether you ever open your mouth or not. I still believe that we ought to tell them. Now, I've had confrontation with preachers and about preaching the doctrines of grace, preaching against false teachers and false doctrine. And this is what they tell me. "Oh, just preach Jesus. Just preach Jesus." Preaching against false doctrine is preaching Jesus. Read the book. What did He say about the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees? What did He say? Beware of it. Well, that I do no different. Brother Thomas does no different when he tells you, beware of the false doctrines of lying preachers that are trying to woo you into their services so that they can get your tithe money and your attendance in church. Had a fellow tell me this week, said, "Yeah. Say, we added 90 to our congregation in a month or 2 months. 35 were saved." I said, "Amen. Thank the Lord." I prayed they were. And I prayed they were doubled or tripled or whatever they did in their numbers because of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have yet to see numbers double in a place or triple in a place in a period of a month or 2 months because they were telling you that if you don't repent and turn from your sins, you shall perish. I've seen them do it because they have a healing service and people think that they can get healed if they come and all other different kind of things where the church expands tremendously in a short period of time, but not because of the preaching of the Word. People do not want to hear the preaching of the Word. They don't want to hear the gospel. The Lord said, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods, and that might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. I could say some things there about the works of our hands. Salvation is by grace alone. Salvation is the work of the Lord. I cannot save you. I cannot bring you down the aisle and have you to repeat some prayer and tell you that you are saved. That is worthless. Except a man be born from above, he is yet lost in his sins.
That's right.
Separated from God and alienated from Him. I don't care what kind of good feeling he's got. I don't care how many times he falls out on the floor and jerks and runs around the building hollering, praise God, praise God, praise God. He's still lost in his sins. Just because you reform your lifestyle and you quit some of your old habits does not make you saved. Just because you come to church does not make you saved. You must be born from above. It is by the power of God that a man is saved, not because you did something. And you can call that the works of your hands. When a man does something himself in order to be saved, that's the work of his own hands. And that, the Bible says, provoked God to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. In other words, the judgment of God had come upon the children of Jacob, his descendants, and it would not be changed. Postponed. Postponed, as the next verse says, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Let me tell you something. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And this man had a fervent prayer before God. He was truly repentant and sorry, and he was the king of Israel, or the king of Judah. And he repented, and he was sorry that things had gotten to the place they was. Look, this was more than El Presidente Obama. This was the king. He ruled. And he was repentant before God. He rent his clothes and he wept before God, and God heard him. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So Josiah did not have to see the evil that God was going to bring upon that place. Because of his tender heart before God, his true repentance before God, I will remind you again of the scripture says that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Then. So we can continue on with our foolishness. We can continue on with our ungodliness. We can continue on with our unbelief. We can continue on by not reading the Scriptures. We can continue on by not teaching our children. We can continue on, and the wickedness, not the wickedness. God will bring evil upon this land, as we have seen coming upon us since we were children until today. If you watch or listen to or read news, they will say, "Oh, it's better than it was. It's a lot better than it was." It's just that we hear about it more because we have so much more media and we're able to read about it. But things are a lot better than they were. Really? Do you really believe? Some people will believe if you tell them, or if the right people tell them. People believe today that it's better if you don't spank your children. Because some psychologist, psychiatrist, idiot of a doctor told them, "Oh, don't never strike your children." Convince them in some other way. Coax them. Set examples for them, but never strike one of your children. That's just unheard of. What the Bible says there. Are you going to believe what a man says because he's got a doctor in front of his name? What did Jesus say about them people? Woe unto them.
That's right.
Woe unto them. Because they speak contrary to the Word of God. This is the only truth that we have, is the Word of God. And only the children of God, the elect of God, believe it. I'm sorry. I'm not, but I'll say I'm sorry. I cannot make you believe the Word of God. I can tell you whether you believe it or not. It will be fulfilled, and God's Word will be done.
That's right.
His will be performed to the every dot and every tittle, every sentence, every period, every question mark, every bit of God's Word and will be completed and fulfilled according to His own purpose in His own time. And you look at today and tell me what has changed since the times have gotten worse. Sodomy is rampant and open, and there is no shame of sodomy anymore. There is no shame of fornication anymore. There is no shame of divorce and adultery anymore. It's not even preached against in the pulpits. And you wonder why people, even church people, are so evil these days. I'm going to tell you why. Because people are doing what they told me to do, or so-called, they just preaching Jesus.
Yeah.
They just preaching Jesus. But they're not preaching Jesus.
Amen.
They're preaching a lie. Now, turn back with me to Luke. I got a few minutes to put some of this together. We saw Mary when she went to visit Elizabeth. We saw the promise of Elizabeth and to Elizabeth and Zacharias concerning John the Baptist. And we saw the birth of John the Baptist there starting in verse 57 when Elizabeth's full time was come. We read that. And we read about Zacharias being able to speak again after he wrote the note and said his name is John. And the song of Zacharias, where Zacharias blessed the Lord God of Israel for the horn of his salvation, all the in holiness and righteousness, verse 74 says that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Now, that's not some kind of spiritual language there that is beyond our understanding. What he means is live a righteous and a holy life. That's what he means. He's conquered all of our enemies. And look, you say, well, them Muslims, Or excuse me, them Islams, oh no, the Islams don't do evil either. It's those radical Islams. Like I said, some people will believe anything. Listen, those are not our enemies. The enemies that God has defeated, that the Lord Jesus has defeated, are inside of you. They're in your mind, they're in your heart. There are those things that cause you to think evil thoughts, that cause you to do evil things. These other enemies, God will use them like He has always used them to destroy, humble, cause nations that have committed sins as we are committing today in this nation. God has used those physical enemies to turn them and to let them see that I am the Lord God. I will do as I please. And He's always done that. He did that with the Amorites, and He did that with the Canaanites and all those people that were in the promised land that was promised to Abraham. God did it to them. He did it to Assyria. He's done it all down through the nations. God decides who's king and who's on top and who's not. I was thinking this week, Lord, I thank You that I'm a poor man. You read the Scriptures and what does He say? Not many noble. Not many of the upper elite. But it's the poor. Thank You, Lord, that I'm a poor man. Thank You, Lord, that I was one of those that by Your grace and mercy that You've called. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in those days that, this is Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, Caesar Augustus, I'm sure, thought that this was being done because he wanted tax money. And as far as he was concerned, that's what it was for. I know better. I know better. Before the foundation of the world, God had everything planned exactly how it would be concerning the Virgin Mary, where she would be when the angel met with her, Gabriel the angel met with her and told her what would happen. When He met with Joseph and told him that Mary will have a son, you'll call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sins. He had to make sure that Joseph and Mary on the day of delivery was in Bethlehem because it had been prophesied that that's where they would be. And they had to go back to their hometown to pay their taxes unto Caesar. And where does Joseph hail from? Bethlehem, the city of David. And so there he goes. He's headed right where he's supposed to. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Some more than poor people. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I don't have time to finish this today. We'll stop right there for now, and we'll take up there next Lord's morning. Brother Sam will be here next Lord's morning. It'll be the week after that, Lord willing. Brother Guy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us, and we'll be dismissed.